Morning. Today's daf is daf and Zion in Avodah Zarah. We're a little bit back on Nunvav Amud Beis. We're going to start the two dafs today. Amar Rav Huna. We started it yesterday on Shabbos, but we're going to go back and we'll start again from the beginning of the sugya. Hopefully get a good understanding of the sugya. Short dafim. Yai Nesach tells us as much to say over here. Helps out the daf yomi schedule. Amar Rav Huna, the Gemara starts off. So you remember yesterday we talked about the structure of the wine press. So there was a gas, there's a vat, and then it had a canal running down, and then it ran into a bore, ran into a pit. According to our Mishnah, it doesn't become a yayin, not eligible for yayin nesach until it actually runs into the pit. Then and only then it's yayin nesach. So that it's eligible for yayin nesach, which means that if a guy touches it while it's in the vat, while it's running down the little tube, it's not going to become yayin nesach because it's not yet processed. The processing finishes only when it gets down into the pit. That is the opinion of our Mishnah. We saw yesterday Rav Huna disagrees with our Mishnah. Rav Huna bases himself on what's called the Mishnah Achrona. Okay, but that's our Mishnah. Then Rav Huna qualifies our Mishnah. He makes a comment on the Mishnah. I mentioned yesterday, this is confusing because it's kind of strange that Rav Huna, who himself rejects the Mishnah, is now going to qualify the Mishnah. Okay, and I mentioned that yesterday and I'm repeating it again today. But in the meantime, Amar Rav Huna lo shana lo shalo hichzir gagus legas. So Rav Huna says that the halacha of our Mishnah is only if the gargusni is not returned back to the top. So the gargusni is that strainer that's on the bottom of the canal. So before the wine actually deposits itself into the pit, so it has to go through a strainer, which is obvious because you don't want the seeds and the skins to go into the pit. You just want liquid to go into the pit. So you have a strainer. So the strainer is actually going to collect all of the solids. If you take the strainer and then you take it off the canal and put it back into the top of the vat, then all the wine in the vat now is yai nesach. If, of course, that's done by a guy. Aval hichzir gagus nilagas aser. So the Gemara now asks the obvious question, gagus nigufa b'may kamitzarei. How did the wine in the gargusni become aser? According to our Mishnah, it's not yain until it goes into the pit. So the gargusni is before the stage of the pit. So I understand that you're taking the stuff in the gargusni and putting it back on the top, but the gargusni, liquid and solid, are both not yet yain. So how did that become aser? So the Gemara says benitzok. Oh, because there's a flow. When it goes into the strainer, it then goes from the strainer into the pit. There's a stream that connects the pit to the strainer. And that stream is, as I mentioned yesterday, it's a major machlokus throughout the Gemara, whether nitzok is chibur or nitzok is not chibur. And we're going to entertain right now the idea that nitzok is chibur, that the stream actually creates a connection between the pit and that which is in the gargusni, that which is in the strainer. Shema mina nitzok chibur. Kidni rav chia. Shepachsaso sluchiso hachanami shepachsaso boro. Okay, so it's we'll see the Gemara later on in terms of what Rav Chia is referring to, but the idea is that there is a connection, a communication between pit and strainer. Okay, the Gemara says let's stop over here. All right, in the Gemara, and let's go back now to what we discussed yesterday. It's very difficult to understand the Gemara in the following sense. We have over here something called nitzok, which means that you have a flow, and a flow creates a connection. And the Gemara says, and that's why everything in the strainer is going to be aser, because it's connected to that which is below. So it's kind of difficult to understand, because really there is a continuous flow, meaning that the flow goes from the vat down to the strainer. There's a flow that goes from the strainer down into the pit. So it's kind of difficult to understand. The Gemara says, well, everything in the strainer, oh, you know, that's aser because of nitzok. And the Gemara says, so, I'm sorry.
So when you take the nitzok from the strainer and you put it back into the vat, then that makes it...
So that makes everything back in the vat going to be aser. Let me just go back. I did something incorrect in the Gemara. Let me go back. Let me just Let me check something that I said a little bit earlier. Shema min anito chibor. The Gemara over here, kidni Reb Chiya. Sorry, this is an answer. I know, but I didn't say that well. This is an answer. It's fine. This is an answer, meaning that what the Gemara now is saying is no, you don't have to say nitzok is chibor, right? Kidni Reb Chiya shepachsaso tzulchiso hachanami shepachsaso baro. It was an overflow, meaning that what happened was is that the pit really backed up. And it backed up so high that it actually touched the strainer. So there was not just communication through a flow, but the pit was so backed up, it actually touched the wine in the strainer. And that's why if I took the wine in the strainer and put it back on the top, everything now on the top becomes Yai Nesach. Period. Okay, fine. Good. So, again, as I mentioned, Nitzok being Chibor, that's subject to a Machlokas, whether it is a Chibor or it's not a Chibor. Okay. How come if we hold, let's say now, if we hold that Nitzuk is Chibor, so how come the flow does not go all the way back to the top? How come you need to take the strainer and put the strainer and actually take it out from its position and actually pour back on top? How come Nitzuk doesn't take us all the way back to the top?
If you say it's Chibor, then it's fairly simple because you can argue that the strainer is part of the bore now. If you say it's chibur, that means that the strainer is part of the board.
And follow?
By the simple fact that it's part of the board, anything that's any wine container there is going to be
yain etzach, and keep going back up. And no, right. Why don't we just go keep going back up? So look at the Tosfos over here.
It sounds like it's more logical to have a chibur going down, because that's the floor.
Right.
And going
so,
back up.
So let's take a look at Tosfos over here. Gargus nigufa b'may mitzvah, b'nitzuk shmai menan, nitzuk chibur. It's a large Tosfos, we're not going to do all of it, but we are going to touch on the basic give and take over here in Tosfos. The Im Tomar. Im Kain, Masha Bigas Hayel on the last one, Mitam Nitzok. So Tosfos over here says, I don't understand. If we are entertaining this concept of Nitzok, so follow it up, keep following it up all the way to the top. The Yeshlamar, Dishani Hacha, Dahave Nitzok Bar Nitzok. So now Tosfos is going to introduce an idea of what he calls Nitzok Bar Nitzok, secondary flow. Now, what does he mean by that? The Migas Le Gargusne is having Nitzok Echad. Meaning, from the vat down to the gargusni, that's one flow. Umi gargusni labor nitzuk sheni, and from the gargusni, from the strainer down into the pit, that's your second flow. It's a double flow, and even when we're in the conversation of nitzuk being chibor, that a flow actually creates a connection, that's only a single flow from one to another. A double flow, I'll explain what that means better, hopefully. A double flow does not create a connection. Umikan pasku. And if this is correct, so he says the psak of the Rivan, the Rashbam, the Rabbeinu Tam, these are immediate family members of Rashi. Not his sons, he didn't have sons. But these are his son-in-law, Rivan is his son-in-law, and Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam are his grandsons. And they all quote in the name of Rashi. The afilu lamanda amanitza chibor, even if you're going to entertain the idea that a flow does create a connection, become a kom nitzok bar nitzok ki hacha eino chibor. The nitzok bar nitzok, the double flow doesn't create a chibor. Now let's understand this a little bit better. Why is it called over here double flow? V'im tamar v'aha inkan rak nitzok echad. So this is now the next part of Tosfos. It's one flow over here from the vat. Look, I don't have a good picture of it, as I've admitted already a couple of times before, but it doesn't matter. From the vat, the wine is now flowing down the canal, into the strainer, down into the pit. So if we are entertaining the idea that Nitzok is a chibor, so why are we calling it a double flow, a Nitzok bar Nitzok? The Kevan Shahar Gargusni, also in the Kavim Mekavim, Im kein nofa bavadai minagas labor. So I understand this is a simple question of gravity. And what's going to end up happening is it's going from the vat all the way down to the pit. And I think it's only one flow. I don't think it's a double flow, or if you want to sound a little bit better, it's a derivative flow. I wouldn't say that. I would say it's a single flow. The Yeshlamar.
Wait.
So Tosfos is going to suggest. The Yeshlamar. The Kevan de Nikve Hagargusni Einamasunim bi Yosher. So Tosfos says, look, the strainer, the holes are now on the bottom. It's not a continuous flow from the vat down into the pit. What happens, says Tosfos, is that the holes of the strainer are on the side. So it actually is a change of direction. It flows down the canal, into the strainer, into the gargousni, but then it stops in the gargousni, redirects, and goes out holes on the side. And since it goes holes on the side, that's considered now a new flow, right? And so if it's nitzok bar nitzok, now, Tosu says, now we'll entertain the idea of nitzok bar nitzok, a double flow. Once there's a redirection, so that's no longer considered a single flow, it's considered a double flow. You know, in those new Shabbos Kiddush contraptions.
Right?
Yeah,
the pishers.
The pishers, right, which I can't imagine is really what they're called. Yeah. I know. I also call them the same thing. So, but that also, right, it would be the same thing. Once there's a change of direction, so that would be considered nitzuk bar nitzuk. And that would be a double flow. Now, I don't know halacha maisa how you would translate that, but just in my mind, I'm thinking, like, help me visualize this, help me conceptualize what we're talking about. That's nitzuk bar nitzuk. Okay?
How would that help Tosfos with you?
Because now, it's good. Because now, this answers Tosfos' question. How come, the question is so simple. How come, if we hold this idea of flowing, and flowing creates connection, so that which is in the pit is usur. And there's a flow, there's a stream going all the way back to the vat.
All the way back out.
So if what's in the pit is Yayin Esach, again, if it's touched by a non-Jew, but if it's not Yayin Esach, so then just keep going backwards. And go all the way back to the top. And go to the vat, and everything in the vat should be Yayin Esach. So Tosu's answer is no. The only thing we'll do is we'll go back to the strainer. Right. The strainer will be Yayin Esach. But we're not going to go back anywhere before the strainer, because that's a different flow. It's not the same flow. It's this idea of nitzuk bar nitzuk.
Even though the flows are contiguous, they're touching.
They're touching one another. But in the world of flow, it's interesting because we're saying it's a chibur, it's a connection. What we're now saying is it's not the strongest connection. Right? In that it can only connect only in a singular flow. Once there's a new stream, even though, right, you're right, if you imagine those big fountains, or like it flows into one thing and then it flows into the next little cup and all that. So no, each connection is viewed as a connection, but you can't then chain them together.
But couldn't you argue that since the strainer is actually now removed, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're establishing a direct connection between the pit and the incline.
Right.
So you could argue that the strain actually worked as an impediment between, you know, this, right. That disconnected it to, right. Now you have a direct connection.
Okay, well, that's a fair question. I don't know. If you're right, so then it sounds like a very strong question.
If you take the strainer out the dumbbell, if there is flow,
constant flow down that incline. The strainer just strains it.
But once they remove the strainer, there's no more flow. No.
Why not?
Because what are you putting the strainer for?
No. The strainer is just straining the liquid that's going through. The liquid is going to go with that. Yeah, right, but there's no resistance.
There's no strainer to offer resistance to the flow,
but the flow is...
In other words, again, we're arguing about something that none of us are seeing right now, so it's kind of strange. I think if we had a picture, we'd all be doing a lot better over here. But
why would you remove the strainer if the flow is still going on?
What's that?
You wouldn't remove the strainer as long as the flow is going.
Because they have to, yeah, because at some point the strainer is going to become so full.
We're going to go on.
The flow is going to be there, but there's no resistance, so we're going to clean it up.
But then they will have the residue going into the thing.
Yes, there is going to be some residue going in. That's absolutely true.
For a few minutes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
For
a few minutes.
Okay. All right. There was a child who knew Avodah Zarah at 6 years of age. Now it's funny, I often poke fun of all these biographies who have these gedolim being, you know, Talmid Chachamim by age 7 by 8. But I'm not gonna say anything about the Gemara. Right?
Yeah.
No. The Gemara says 6 years. I assume the Gemara means 6 years, 6 years of age. He knew Avodas Kochavim, well. So it's difficult to maintain a 6-year-old mastering a Gemara, but the Gemara says it. Rashi says Ben Sheshanim. Funny, you could have said without Rashi, you really could have said another pshat. You could have said that in 6 years, right, the young man was able to master the Masechta, but okay, anyway.
Why is his name not mentioned?
Right, right, right. It's a okay. So, Hahu Yanuka the Tana of Kacham Mishishanizo. So there was a child who at 6 years of age mastered of Avodah by name Mahu Lijochim Al Kacham Megas. So they said, okay, let me ask you a simple question. In the vat, can I do the dance, the wine dance in the vat with a non-Jew? Is that acceptable or not acceptable? Amar Lahu Dorchim Ima Ove Kochavim Begas. So he says, yes, you can absolutely do it. Now, look, the six-year-old master of Avodah Zarah, he knows the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. And the Mishnah told us, the Mishnah back on Nun Hamad Aleph says, Dorchin, Dorchin Ima Ove Kochavim Begas. So, the young man is correct. So the Gemara says, wait a second, I'm a little bit confused. So remember, when we learned the Mishnah, there's so many issues going on in the Mishnah. Issues of Tumma, being Gorim Tumma, issues of getting benefit from Yain Nesach, right? So the questioner was asking the child, right? Think about it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Because as the guy is dancing on the grapes and crushing the grapes, so isn't he doing Nisach? And if, in fact, he's doing Nisuch, isn't the wine going to be now Yai Nesach? And therefore, the Jew who's doing it together with the non-Jew, isn't he benefiting from Yai Nesach by getting paid? So the Gemara says, Ditsairana Leila Yadei. So the child answers, well, his hands were bound up. So in other words, so he was only stepping with his feet, he wasn't touching with his hands, and that's why it's not subject to Yai Nesach. V'haka menasech beregel, you can't do nisuch with your feet. So nisuch deregel or shmei nisuch. So the child gives the yesod. 6-year-old child provides a fundamental rule. Nisuch is not done with your feet; it's only done with your hands. Now it's funny. We've been talking about nisuch, and we'll be talking about it now for a little bit of time. I often assume nisuch is libation. Libation means to actually pour. What we're going to be seeing throughout the Gemara is that that's not limited to just pouring. Nisuch could also be done with just the simple agitation of the wine. Meaning, taking your hand, putting it in the wine, and agitating the wine, that also is a form of nisuch. I don't know, just expressing to you my lack of knowledge, I don't know where we see that in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, normally we assume that whatever is an avoda for us is going to be an avoda for the avoda zara. And for us, nisuch comes in the form of pouring. Right, libation. So where do we see shichshuch, this agitation, is going to be considered an act of nisuch? So I don't know. I don't know where we have it. It doesn't matter. The fact that I don't know doesn't matter. But the fact remains, though, that agitation with the hand, that is considered nisuch. And the six-year-old now is telling us, is teaching us, that only works with your hands. Agitation with the feet is not considered nisuch. And by virtue of that, it's not usur. Now, again, let's be very clear about it. Whenever a guy touches wine, you're not allowed to drink the wine. Right? The issue over here is the wine also going to be asr behana? Right. As we will be discussing through a good part of today's daf, that has to be done. There has to be a conscious act of nisuch. Meaning, if there's just an indirect contact between guy and wine is going to be asr b'shtia. But if there's a more direct contact between guy and wine, so now not only is it going to be Aser B'Shtia, it's also going to be Aser B'Hana. And we'll see a good part of today's daf is going to be now trying to ascertain when is it considered enough of a contact, enough of a intended contact to make it Aser both B'Shtia and B'Hana.
Why is there a distinction between
B'Shtia
and
B'Hana? Because in Yai Nesach, right. So go back to Tosas that we did a while ago. In the Gzera of Stam Yenam, there are two issues. One issue is going to be an issue of Chasnas, and another issue is going to be an issue of Yai Nesach. So, and sometimes we could separate the issues, meaning that if they touch it, even without intent, so there's just going to be the Chasnas, which just means that you can't drink it. But once we're now in the world of intent to, you know, a more conscious contact, which could lead to Yai Nesach, so then we're going to treat it like real Yai Nesach. Asur B'Shtia and B'Hana. Okay, we'll offer such a pshat. Hahu Uvda Benarda, we're on Nun Vav Amud Beis, and we're 4 lines from the bottom of the page. Hahu Uvda Benarda, Hava Benarda, Didash Yisova, V'Kochav and Lau Chamra, V'Shai Yishmu Tlasa Rigle. So the story goes in Nahardah where Jew and non-Jew were pressing down on the grapes, stomping on the grapes in order to create wine. And Shmuel waited 3 yantavs before getting an answer. Every yantav they would get together, right? They would have their conventions, their RCA conventions or what have you. Rashi in the bottom of the page says, Shayu mitzkapsim l'shmuel drasha hilchos pesach b'pesach hilchos atzeres b'atzeres v'hilchos chag b'chag. And at these conventions, so Shmuel was trying to ascertain is, well, the Gemara is going to ask what he's ascertaining, but he's trying to figure something out about this wine, where this wine was made through the joint effort of a Jew and a non-Jew, and both of them were stomping on the grapes. So, my timer. So the Gemara now is wondering, what's Shmuel waiting for? What's he looking to learn at the convention? So is it that he's looking to learn, maybe it should be Aser Behana? Rashi. The top Rashi on Nunzayin Amar Alf. Look, over here he's stomping on the grape. This is not Nisach. And yet, Shmuel now is waiting to hear, maybe somebody holds like Rabbi Nassan. Because according to Rabbi Nassan, it's going to be Aser Bahana, it's like Nisach Yayin. Because we normally say that you need agitation. And specifically agitation with the hand. Did Tanya, and the Gemara points out, look at the Braisa, Madadu, Bein Biyad, Bein Beregel, Yimakir. According to the Tanakhama, a non-Jew measures it. So he's just measuring it. Measuring it is not an act of Nisach. But of course he's touching it. He's measuring it with his hands, he's measuring it with his feet. Now Rashi does not make this all that pleasant. He takes his hand, he sticks it into the barrel to see how deep it is with his hand. Now who's going to want to drink it after that? I'm not sure. Okay, but it doesn't matter. In other words, he's measuring it. So he's touching it without any kavana. So according to the Tanakhama, you can't drink it. But you can get benefit from it. It's still Mutar Bahana, because in order to make it real, yeah, I say I'm going to keep saying Yai Nesach. I don't mean Yai Nesach. I don't mean that he actually libated it for his Avodah Zarah. But once there was intention to touch it, so now the Gzeira Derabanan of Stam Yenam is going to be such where it's going to be both Aser to drink and Aser to get benefit from it. According to the Tanakhama, if he just measures it, that's not intentional. And so therefore, you are allowed to sell it.
But since when do we apply intention to the going?
For the purpose of making it not just Aser to drink, but Aser to get benefit from as well, intent is going to be important. And again, intent is important because we can only have a discussion of Nisuch if he is actually thinking, I'm going to touch the wine. Rabbi Nassan says that if he touches it with his hand, it's going to be Aser. And Aser over here, according to Rabbi Nassan means you're not allowed to get benefit from it, but if he touches it with his foot, so then it's going to be Mutter. Mutter over here does not mean Mutter to drink. Mutter over here means Mutter, you're allowed to get benefit from it. So you see that according to Rabbi Nassan, you are, even though he's just measuring it, it's going to be Aser Bahana. So what Shmuel's doing is waiting those 3 yantifs in order to see, does somebody paskin like Rabbi Nassan? But the Gemara says, and so what? And someone does paskin like Rabbi Nassan. Read what Rabbi Nassan just taught us. He says that biyad it's also beregel it's mutter. Eim adama Rabbi Nassan biyad. Beregel mi amar. He doesn't say that touching it with your feet makes it real yayin nesach, where it's us or both b'shti o ba'na. That's only if he does it with his hand. So, pretty much like we learned from the 6-year-old child. Doing it with your feet, touching the wine with your feet, agitating the wine with your feet does not create Yai Nesach. You can drink it, but you can get benefit from it. Okay, so Shmuel was waiting 3 yantavs, and why was Shmuel waiting for 3 yantavs? So he wasn't waiting for Rabbi Nassan, right? Because even Rabbi Nassan is not going to assert with touching your feet. Ela di imishkechana tana desharik Rabbi Shimon asharye afil b'shtia. The Gemara says, look, if someone matters it like Rabbi Shimon matters it, so then I'll allow it even to drink. We haven't seen Rabbi Shimon yet. Rabbi Shimon's going to be coming up in just a short few days from now. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that if you have an incidental contact between non-Jew and the wine, he holds you're even allowed to drink it. Okay, we'll come back to later on, a couple days from now, we'll discuss Rabbi Shimon in more detail, and that's what Shmuel was waiting for. There was a story that happened up in Biram, in the town of Biram. Anyone remember where Biram is? I don't know. Geographically, I do not know. It's one of the towns where they lit the fires. Right? Remember in Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah, mm-hmm. how they would inform the Galus, the diaspora, that it was Rosh Chodesh? So they would light fires on the top of the mountains. One of the mountains that were mentioned was in the town of Biram. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't know exactly where it is, but it's somewhere between Israel and Iran. Iraq, actually. So, here's what happened over there in the town of Biram. There was a non-Jew coming down from the palm tree. Now, the Girsa in our Gemara is that he was holding a palm branch in his hand, right? I guess he's climbing up the palm tree in order to cut the palm branch. He's coming now down with the palm branch. Now, according to the Girsa in our Gemara, he touches wine with the head of the palm branch. So, he's not even touching the wine with his own hands. He's only agitating the wine with a palm branch that he's holding. Okay. Shaya Rav lezevune l'ove kochavim. So Rav says, you could sell it to a non-Jew. Okay, this is the opinion of Rav. Amru le Rav kanavar avasila Rav ha-mar hu da-mar tinak ben yamahu osi yai nesach. So they say to Rav, wow, I don't understand you based on another ruling that you said. You also taught us a non-Jew creates Yai Nesach. How old does a non-Jew have to be? So Rav says, Afilu Ben Yomo, an infant, a non-Jewish infant that comes into contact with the Yai Nesach will render the wine Yai Nesach. So I don't understand. According to you, Rav, I'm a little bit confused. Because the guy coming down from the palm tree, from the palm tree, and he touched the wine, and that was simply incidental contact. Rashi says it was shelo bekavana. He had no intent of touching the wine; it just happened incidentally as he was climbing down the palm tree. And you're telling me that that wine is fine. Let me be clear: fine in the sense that you're allowed to sell the wine. It's not us about no. And meanwhile, you also told me that if a child, a one-day-old child, an infant, touches wine, the wine becomes Yai Nesach. Now, you can't tell me that the contact between the infant and the wine is intentional.
There's no gemara.
Right. There's no das in this infant. Any touch, by definition, is incidental contact between the child and the wine. And meanwhile, you hold that that's Yai Nesach. So Rav says, no, there's no inconsistency. When the baby touches the wine, I say it's aser. I mean it's aser b'shtia. It is not aser b'hana. It's only going to be aser b'hana when he's old enough to know about Avodah Zarah and able to understand Avodah Zarah, period. So there's no inconsistency. See the big Tosfos over here on this Amud? What bothers him is the Girsa that I just read to you from the Gemara. Because in the Gemara, we just had a story where he climbs on the palm branch and he touches the wine, not even with his body, but with the palm branch. Right? And then the Gemara says, but wait a second, that was incidental, that he didn't intend to do it. Right? It's more than incidental. He didn't even touch the wine. It was a palm branch that touched the wine. He happened to have been holding the palm branch at the time. And so now this takes us to another discussion. When we say that you have to have contact between non-Jew and wine in order to make the wine Yai Nesach, do you need actual physical contact? Or even if he uses something, right, holds something to touch the wine, is that enough of a contact? In our Gemara, it sounds like even if him holding the palm branch and the palm branch touching the wine, that's contact. That's what it sounds like. Tosfos is bothered because tomorrow we're going to see in the Gemara, that doesn't count. That doesn't count as contact. Tosos has a lengthy discussion, and Tosos does essentially what the Bach does. The Bach changes the girsa of the Gemara. Our Gemara has that the head of the lulav touches the wine, and the Bach as well as Tosos quoting numerous Rishonim. It goes back to Gaonim. He quotes Gaonim. Says no, he himself touched the wine, although incidentally, but he himself touched the wine. If all he did was touch something that touched the wine, that's not considered contact. Okay, see Tosos for a very lengthy discussion about that issue. Right, you see in the bottom of the Tosos over here, Lachain Elkach Nira. You see it in Tosos. I'm just giving you the highlights. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six lines from the bottom of that big Tosfos.
What's the first word?
The first word in the line is Haigav Nebisav Bizav Eino Tam. Kach Nira. Le Rabbeinu Tam. Girsas Rabbeinu Chanana V'halachas Gedolos. V'chein Nimtza B'tshuvas HaGaonim. Delo Garas Bereisha De Luliva. Ela Naga B'chamra. Right? The correct gear says that he actually touched the wine while descending from the palm tree. But not that he touched it with the head of the palm branch, because that's not touching. And touching is you actually have to make physical contact between him, his body, and the wine.
Against the Kansar Nitzok with a
stick?
Why?
Why not? Because Nitzok is a flow.
So what? He's a flow.
I understand, but it's...
an idea.
I don't...
It's probably very practical. I'm sure if a non-Jew works in a wine factory, they are often, in today's day and age,
yeah,
just pushing buttons.
Correct. Correct. And it's not actually touching? Correct. Okay, so important Tosfos over here, important discussion in Tosfos about what actually constitutes contact. Let's go back to the Gemara. Okay, so now where we're at right now is the opinion of Rav. Rav says that incidental contact will make the wine Aser B'Shtiyah, but does not make it Yayin Nesech, in that you cannot get benefit from it. You still are allowed to get benefit from it if the contact is incidental. We see it now in two cases according to Rav. We see it once in him coming down the palm branch and him by accident making contact with wine, and we see it in the case of the Ben Yomo. The child, the infant, one day old, touches wine, that wine, you're not allowed to drink it, but you are allowed to get benefit from it. Gufa. Okay, and now we'll spend a little bit of time this morning discussing. Gufa Amarav Tinok. Sorry, Amarav. Tinok Ben Yomo. Ose Yayin Nesech. Right, he makes Yayin Nesech. Eisve Rav Shimon Bar Chia L'Rav. Halokech Avadim Mina Ovi Kochavim. Okay? And now we're going to quote a Tosefta. Twice this morning we're going to quote this Tosefta. And this Tosefta is going to be a problem against Rav. You buy a non-Jew from a non-Jew. Okay? And you're in the slave market. And you're interested in buying for yourself a slave. And every time you buy a slave, he now becomes an Eved Kenani, and he goes through a conversion process. Once you have now an Eved Kenani, he goes through a quasi-conversion, he becomes now a quasi-Jew. He's in some sort of twilight zone, a little bit of limbo, in the following sense. If he's a male slave, you're going to give him a bris milah, you're going to dunk him in the mikvah, and he's going to be chayv in mitzvos. He's going to have to keep Shabbos, he's going to have to, right? The only thing that he's going to be exempt from are the time-bound mitzvahs, like a woman. But outside of that, essentially he's a Jew. I say he's a quasi-Jew because nobody's allowed to marry him. Not nobody, but, right? Another Eved Kenani is allowed to marry him. And if it's a woman, so then an Eved Ivri is allowed to marry the Shivcha Kenanis, but they're not allowed to, they're not Motabakal. They're not allowed to come into the congregation. Okay, so It's a funny thing. But nevertheless, over here, the Tosefta deals with the following. Great. So it's a very straightforward question. So you buy yourself an Ovi Kochavim now. Can he handle your wine? Is he allowed to touch your wine? And now, of course, he's going to because he's working for you. But does he render your wine Yayin Nesech? So here's what the Tosefta deals with. So they did a milah, but they haven't yet toveled themselves in the mikvah, so it's not complete. Their conversion to becoming an Eved Kenani is not complete. V'chein, b'nei ha-shvachos shemala v'lo tavlu. Same thing with the sons of shvachos. Important Rashi over here. Mala v'lo tavlu, when we're talking about the b'nei shvachos, last Rashi on the page. Afa pishenoldu b'veis Yisrael v'lo gadlu b'nei ovedi kochavim ba'u mila u'tfila. So look, they're being born in your house, these B'nai Shvachos. So they still require a milah and they still require tefillah, but Rashi over here qualifies. U'kishalo tavla imo mitchila kamayri. That's only if mom didn't get a tefillah. The e tavla imo inu lama lahu tefila. If mom got a tefila, the child doesn't need a tefila. Okay? So in other words, Rashi is just helping us understand. If the shivcha kananis had the child after she herself went through the quote-unquote conversion process, conversion over here to becoming a shivcha kananis, so then her child is by definition an eved kanani and doesn't require tefila. So this tefila requirement for the son of a shivcha is only if mom didn't receive a tefila.
When they say tefila, they just mean to title them, or they also have to learn some halacha?
So, Tovel, just Tovel. Okay? Rokan Umedra son, Bishuk. What about the spit that comes out of the mouth? What about Medras, anything they sit on? As Xera de Rabbanan, non Jews give off Tuma. So that the spit that comes out of the mouth and the Medras, anything they sit on, is going to be Tame. Okay? So the Rokan, the Medras of these people. Right, a purchased slave, a child born to a shivcha. So one version says tameh, the amri la tahor. Okay, so we don't have a clear girsa of the Tosefta. The Gemara entertains two possibilities: either it's tameh or it's tahor. Okay, hold that. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Yenam. What about the wine they touch? Okay, so again, remember, we are talking about a slave that you bought that you have not yet tovled. You gave them a meal, but you haven't yet tovled them. So yenam gedolim osim yainesach ketanim ein osim yainesach. So it depends if they're big or they're small. And here we'll give very clear the parameters of what big and small means. The Elohim gedolim. I'm sorry. If they're big, the wine they touch is yainesach. If they're not big, if they're little, the wine they touch is not yain esach. The Elohein, wait. The Elohein gedolim, Elohein ketanim, gedolim yodim betiv avodas kochavim misham sheha, ketanim enum yodim betiv avodas kochavim misham sheha. In this halacha, gadol means you know about avodah zarah. You know, you understand avodah zarah, you speak avodah zarah, it's part of your vocabulary. You understand how to serve the avodah zarah. Little means you don't know anything about avodah zarah. You're just ignorant about avodah zarah. You're young. Okay. Adkan, that's the end of the Tosefta. And now the Gemara says, now Rav, let's work with this. Ketanim mi'as gedolim in ketanim lo. It says in the Tosefta, only when they are big, then and only then do they create Yai Nesech. When they are little, they do not create Yai Nesech. You, Rav, said, afilu ben yomo. Even a day-old child is going to make Yai Nesech, and the Tosefta over here says, no, it does not. A child does not make Yai Nesach. He has to understand Tiv Avodah Zarah, the nature of Avodah Zarah. So Tirgama Abnei Shvachos. So he says, okay, that halacha of the difference between big and small is going on Bnei Shvachos. The Gemara says, Ha V'chein Kamar. The Gemara says, it's hard to understand because in the Tosefta, it says the word v'chein. And similarly, so it's hard to make a segregation in the Tosefta between an eved that you purchase versus a b'nei shvachos, in that the Brisa, the Tosefta, says the word v'chein. So the Gemara's answer is, arokan u'midrasan. When we are saying that they are similar, that's in terms of the halacha of the spit that comes out of the mouth, and that which they sit on. The Gemara says, well, you may be right about that, but it really depends. Hanich laman damer tame. If you work with the girsa and the Tosefta, that's tame, so then I understand. Meaning that what the Tosefta wants to teach us is that both the spit and the seat of a b'nei shivcha and an eved that you purchase are going to be tame. But if you're holding tahor, so what's the vechein? So hakamash malan avadim do b'nei shvachos ma b'nei shvachos malu v'lo tavlu hu dosin yain esach malu tavlo lo af avadim kain. So the Gemara says that's exactly the point, that when you have avadim, they're going to be similar like b'nei shvachos, just like b'nei shvachos. If they had a mila but they weren't tovled yet, they will make Yai Nesach. So the same thing is true with an Eved. If they have a Mila but they didn't have a Tefillah yet, they're going to make Yayin Nesach. Okay? So the Gemara now helps us qualify the halacha over here of Rav, and the Tosefta can work in conjunction with Rav. All right. So we have so far opinion number one of this morning, and that's the opinion of Rav. Rav says that incidental contact will make wine yayin nesach. Yayin nesach in the sense that you're not allowed to drink it. Right? You could still get benefit from it, that we already saw. But a child, even one day old, will make yayin nesach. La'afuke mid Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel da'amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel ha'okei chavadu min alvei kochav ma'af api shamalo v'tavlo osin yayin nesach ashet tishka avodus kochavim mipihem. Kamash malan. Below. I might have thought like the opinion of Rav Nachman, who says in the name of Shmuel, that this business of a guy not making yayin nesach, that's only after he forgets about his avodah zarah. And how long does it take? A year. Shichacha, forgetting, takes a year. That's the opinion of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, and the Bryce is telling us that he's not correct. In other words, once he goes through the process of milah and tefillah, at that point, instantaneously, he now is no longer a goy who makes yayin yayin nesach. Good. Okay? Gufa. And now the Gemara says, let's spend a couple minutes talking about him. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Halokei chavadim en alviko chav mafa pishamala v'tavlu osin yayin nesach hashet tishka avodzko chavim v'piyim. V'kama amav Yeshua ben Levi Ashtem Asa Chodesh. Let's take some time now discussing the opinion of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Eisvei Ravala Rav Nachman. And here we go. Second round today. So the Gemara is now going to say, I don't understand. The Braisa seems to be going directly against the opinion of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Because he says that even after they go through the process of Milah and Tefillah, they're still going to make any wine they touch, Yayin Nesach, until a year later. Until they forget about the Avodah Zarah. So Eisvei Ravala Rav Nachman, and we're going to just run through the Tosefta one more time. The spit and that which they sit on, Bishuk, in the marketplace is going to be Tameh. Again, the Gemara is just quoting the Tosefta word for word like we saw earlier this morning. Yenam, the wine. Gedolim osin yayin nesach, chitanim ein osin yayin nesach. Elohim gedolim ve'elohim chitanim, gedolim she'yodim b'tif avodos kochavim mishamsha, chitanim she'yodim b'tif avodos kochavim mishamsha. Period. That is the end of the Tosefta. Chitanim miyas, malu v'lo tivlu in, malu v'tivlu lo. So again, a simple diuk in the Braisa. That once they go through the whole process of getting a bris milah and toveling in the mikvah, they are now no longer going to make yayin into yayin nesach. Any wine they touch at that point in time will be fine. And according to Rav Nachman, who quotes the name of Shmuel, that's not true. They need a year. They need a year to forget about their avodah zarah. But when I read the Tosefta, it's a simple pshat on the Tosefta, and it goes against Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Tirgama abnei shvachos. So the Gemara says that this idea that they will become instantaneously converted to non idol worshippers, that's only going on the Bnei Shvachos. And as Rashi points out, look, it's very simple, because the Bnei Shvachos, they're being raised in the house of a Jew. So they weren't raised with this Avodah Zarah. So for them, you understand. So the Gemara says, Ha v'chein kitani? Again, the Tosefta says the words v'chein, which makes it sound like whatever halacha is true by the Bnei Shivcha is also going to be true by the one you purchase in the marketplace. So the Gemara says, Arokan Medrasan. That's going on the halacha of Rokan Medras. Hanich Laman Damar Tameh, good. If you hold that it's Tameh, that's fine. Elaman Damar Tar, Michael Amemar, but if you hold Tar, that doesn't make any sense. In other words, the Rokan Medras are going to be Tahor, they haven't converted yet. They only got the Mila. Hakamash Malan Avadim Dumi Dibnei Shvachos. My Bnei Shvachos Gedolim Huda Osin Yayin Nesach. Kitanim Ein Osim Yayin Nesach. Afavadim Nami Gedolim Osin Yayin Nesach. Kitanim Ein Osim Yayin Nesach La'afuke Midarav. The Amar Rav Tinuk Ben Yama Osin Yayin Nesach Kamash Malan. So here the Gemara says, look, we'll make the following diuk. The V'chein, the similarity is that as children, they do not make Yayin Nesach. That's the point of the similarity between the Bnei Shivcha and the slave and the store-bought slave. That as children, they do not make Yayin Nesach. That's where their similarity lies between them. But if we're going to say this, obviously we're going to be going against Rav. Because Rav says, Atinok, Afilu Ben Yomo is going to make Yayin Nesach. And so the Chiddush of the Braisa says that, no, that's not true. As children, they do not make Yayin Nesach. Period. Okay? So we have, let's just make sure we have this clear. Let's make sure I have this clear. So we have over here a basic machlokas between Amorayim, between the opinion of Rav and the opinion of Shmuel, as supported by Rav Nachman. Does a child, an infant, who touches wine, does he make the wine Yayin Nesach? Rav says, yes, he does, and Shmuel says, no, he doesn't. Okay? Rav says, even within the opinion of Rav, who says that it does become Yayin Nesach, it's not Asa Bahana, it's Asa Bishtiya, but it's not Asa Bahana. Okay? And according to Shmuel, no, it's not Yayin Nesach at all. You're allowed to not only sell it, you're allowed to even drink it as well. Okay? That's the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. What's the svara behind Rav? So I'm going to say what we said a little bit earlier this morning. The svara behind Rav is that encoded in this gzeira of Yayin Nesach is really twofold. Number one, there's the issue of Yayin Nesach and then Achinami. In other words, a child, a two-year-old, a three-year-old, he doesn't know about Avodah Zarah. He's not worshipping idolatry. So when he touches the wine, it's not going to be Asa Bahana. It's not Yayin Nesach. But there's another part to this Yayin Nesach, which is the issue of chasnas, of intermarriage. And there, you're not going to marry a two-year-old, I understand, but still, the idea that you want to create a social barrier between the new Jew and the non-Jew, and you don't want the non-Jew touching the wine, that's a flat rule. So it doesn't matter what age they're at, anytime they touch the wine is going to be prohibited to drink from. That's the opinion of Rav, and so therefore Rav says, Afilu ben yomu, even a tinuk ben yomu cannot touch the wine, and if he does so, the wine will be also b'shtiyah, you're not allowed to drink the wine. And I guess Shmuel, you know, hard to insert more svar into Shmuel, but Shmuel disagrees, obviously, with that principle. Okay, let's do a little bit more for this morning. There was a story in the town of Mechuza. A non-Jew walks into a store of a Jew. So the non-Jew says to the Jew, you got any wine to sell me? So the Jew says, no, no wine. Sorry. Now, in the bucket in the store, there was a bucket of wine. And the non-Jew is looking at the bucket of wine and says, wow, I hate him. Can you believe, a store owner just lied to me. Just lied right to my face. He told me he had no wine. And meanwhile, I'm looking at a bucket of wine right now. And he's angry. And in his anger, the non-Jew takes his hand, puts it in the wine, and agitates the wine. So there. And he walks out. It's crazy. Crazy story. Amalu, I love Chamerhu. So, right? So, I'm sorry. Amalu, I love Chamerhu. Right? So the non-Jew says to the Jew, what did I just do over there? What was that I was just playing with over there? That's not wine? Okay. Shakle hai berisiche, shaje ledana. So, in his anger, the Jew takes the bucket of wine that was just agitated by the non-Jew. Now, let's remember, the non-Jew did it out of anger, and he poured it back into his main barrel of wine. Okay. Please follow, by the way, because over here, obviously, intent is very important. In other words, in order to appreciate what Rav is about to say, you have to understand that over here, it's a question of intent. Now, clearly over here, there was contact between the non-Jew and the bucket of wine. He stuck his hand in, he agitated. Clearly, there was contact. Clearly, you're not allowed to drink the wine at this point in time. Okay, the wine is also bishtia. The question now is going to be, the next step, is the wine also going to be asur behana'a? Are you prohibited to get benefit from the wine? So, much like what we discussed earlier this morning, you can't say that this is incidental contact, but you understand, though, what the motivation was of him taking his hand and putting it into the wine. He wasn't really interested in being menasech at that point in time for his avodah zarah. He just was angry. And this was an act of anger. This wasn't an act of nisuch. Sharya Rava lezivun of the kochavim. So Rava says, you know what? You could sell the wine to a non-Jew. You can't drink it, but you could sell this wine to a non-Jew. He felt it was mutar b'hana. And we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we're going to pick it up. And tomorrow we're going to discuss whether, in fact, Rava was right. Was Rava right in his psak that this wine is going to be mutter bar. No, you'll have to get benefit from it. Okay, so this morning we talked about Nitzuk being a chibor is a flow of wine going to make create a connection. So the Gemara has a debate about it. Even within the position that Nitzuk is chibor, we then discussed what about Nitzuk bar Nitzuk, the double flow, is that going to be a connection? So Rashi is quoted by his grandchildren and son-in-law saying no, Nitzuk bar Nitzuk is not going to be a chibor.
And that's
Rashi accepts that as a halacha. I didn't do more research than that. Okay, and then we talked today about a major machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. What about contact that was done by a child, by a one-year-old, a two-year-old? Is he going to render the wine to be Yayin Nesach? Rav says yes, that if a child touches wine, the wine is going to be Yayin Nesach, and therefore, according to Rav, a child touches wine, you're not allowed to drink it. You're allowed to get benefit from it, but you're not allowed to drink it. And Shmuel says no. You can even drink it if touched by wine, by a child. And then this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, we're going to pass them like Rav. And finally this morning, which we're going to continue tomorrow, we're going to talk about contact by a non-Jew when clearly his intent was not to be menasech. Okay, Adkan.